The Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy 32, verses 1 to 4. Listen, you heavens, and I will speak. Hear, you earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. O praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he.
Right, I shall test you if you've been listening to that Old Testament reading, because there's an answer to that in there. Now, I thought we would continue with what we were doing 2 weeks ago, which was play the game of find the connection, or what does this remind you of? And Tom will be showing us some pictures. And I want you to sort of look at them and tell me what you think they remind you of. Can anyone guess what these images remind you of? Well, I'll just start you off. That first picture is it's not quite the size of the rock that is in my garden, but it's a picture of a rock. You've got a picture of a vineyard. Some of you will soon be on holiday, so there'll be images that you will see before when you sort of drive by, especially in France. The third image, you've got an image of a warrior. You've got a picture of a king, so that should give you the clue. Picture of a potter. And lastly, a picture of, I think you can see the gavel there, a judge. Any clues from all that? Does anyone know what these pictures remind you of? Anyone? Well, I'm surprised. Remember when Glennis was reading about Deuteronomy, it talks about God as a rock. And these are all images of God. He's a rock. He's a vineyard owner. He is a warrior. He is a king. So we're going to look at some of these things here and as we go later on. But we could just stop and think about a couple of those pictures there on a rock. In Psalms 31, verses 1 to 8, David in verse 2 says, ask God to be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Now, I know sometimes when you think of the word rock and think, oh gosh, it's, you know, not a pretty sight. Immediately, perhaps sometimes you may sort of think of the saying, you know, between a rock and a hard place. Something that is unyielding, unsympathetic, unpleasant. Or you may think of the incident in Exodus chapter 17 when God provided his people with water from a rock. So the Israelites at that time, if you sort of look in Exodus chapter 17, the Israelites had left the desert. And as they were wandering around, they became thirsty. Of course, they were in the desert. And they became so thirsty and dispirited that they grumbled to such an extent to Moses that Moses really was getting frightened. And he thought, no, these people are probably going to lynch me now if I don't provide them with water. So God told Moses to strike the rock at Horeb, and water came out of it, and the people drank their fill. We're also reminded, and the people were reminded again of this miraculous providence from God when the prophet Nehemiah reminded the people of the Lord's faithfulness in providing them. And in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 15, he tells them, in their hunger, you gave them bread from heaven, and in their thirst, you brought them water from the rock. So it need not be an unyielding, horrible thing, but we can think of God as our rock, as our refuge. We can also think of God as a potter, shaping the clay. It looks unprepossessing, it's sort of dull gray sort of clay. And in Jeremiah, in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 12, God told Jeremiah, go to the house of the potter, and I want you to watch what he's doing. Jeremiah obeyed God, went to the house of the potter, and saw God, and saw the potter shaping a pot. But the problem was, the clay was marred in his hands. It didn't come out right, try as the potter might. And God tells Jeremiah, tell the people, I am like the potter, and Israel, my people, the clay. And God bemoans the fact that Israel is like the clay. It's blemished, it's marred, and it's not perfect when they should be, because they are his people. So God is a potter shaping our lives today. Well, for those of you who are going on holiday, let's talk about the vineyard. And God, as you know, likens himself to the owner of a vineyard. And in the vineyard, his vineyard, in this case, again, is the nation of Israel. And God loved his vineyard. And in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 7, God again complains and says, you know, I love my vineyard. I have lavished all care and attention to it. Now look what kind of fruit am I getting from it? Now, when I was on holiday recently, there was an open gardens day, in the village that we were in, and we went to look at the gardens. We thought, oh, it'll be a nice, good Sunday afternoon sort of stroll around people's gardens. And you could see that from all the gardens that we went into, you could imagine the amount of care and attention and consequently the pleasure that those villagers had for their gardens. And God is saying, this vineyard that I have, this nation that I have, this people I've called to be my people, my chosen people, I have lavished care and attention. I've provided for them. And when, as a vineyard owner, as I look for the grapes, all I get is bad fruit. And our God is consistently faithful in all those images. He never wavers. His love is constant. So why is the clay marred? Why is there only bad fruit? So perhaps it's not God we should be looking at. But perhaps it's time we looked at ourselves, at our lives. In the case of a rock, are we building our lives, our house on a rock? Or is our house built on sand? It's a parable. Are we warriors for God? Or are we like the disciples that ran away in that fateful night, terrified? Do our lives yield the fruits of the Spirit,